Today on The Grave Talks, The Haunted Rock Island Roadhouse, a conversation with Candy Slater. In the heart of Rock Island, Illinois, an unassuming old building holds secrets of its storied past. Once known as the local YMCA, it's now a furniture store. But beneath its facade is a place where the past and the paranormal collide. For decades, this building served as a bustling hub for the community, offering solace and recreation to its inhabitants. Yet, as time passed, whispers of hauntings began to circulate, with tales of shadows lurking in the hallways and apparitions making their presence known. Even the former classrooms on the second floor harbor distinct spirits, while the upper storage spaces, once filled with belongings of longtime boarders, now echo with ghostly footsteps and mysterious bangs. Perhaps the most chilling are the reports of shadow figures darting from room to room and the unnerving sounds captured in one particular stairwell. An area now infamous for EVP recordings of blood-curdling screams and door slamming. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about the haunted Rock Island Roadhouse with Candy Slater, event coordinator. Now, we all have a background somehow why we are all interested in the paranormal. Is this something that started for you a long time ago, your interest in the paranormal, before Rock Island Roadhouse?
Mine started actually between 5 and 7 years ago. My husband was big into the paranormal, and honestly, I thought it was hocus pocus. Like, I would not give paranormal the time of day. After a summer of me dragging him to every concert on earth that, you know, even ones that guys shouldn't have to go to, like boy band review and stuff, we get to the fall and I'm like, well, now concert season's over. What are we going to do? And he says, let's go on a paranormal investigation. And I was like, okay, fine. You humored me. I'll humor you. I said, but I want to make it a good one. So we picked the Edinburgh Manor in Iowa, which is about 45 minutes from our house. And I had experiences which just made me wanting more. And make a long story short, I was hooked. And come to find out a year later that my husband's a medium. And we went to an event at... Then it was known as the Haunted YMCA Rock Island. We had to have the name changed because of, you know, the YMCA got very upset because of calling it the old YMCA. So we just recently had to change the name to the Haunted Rock Island Roadhouse. But from the minute we walked through the door, Derek and I fell in love with the location and its owner, Lisa Viner.
And with your experience being a total skeptic, and then I'm going to guess now you're more in the believer end of the spectrum.
Heck yes.
Like I always say, you know, the people who say that they don't believe in it or are 100% skeptic, they've never had an experience. When you've had an experience that you can't explain, then I think that all puts us into the believer category. Because how do you explain this?
Exactly.
So you actually had things happen to you, I'm assuming, that you couldn't explain.
I couldn't. And like, to give you an example, it felt like I was being held down in a bed at Edinburgh Manor and like I was being choked. And one of the other mediums that was with us at the time said, let me show you what I saw happening to you. And that person held me down the same way I felt like I was being held down. I'm like, wait a minute. There's no way this person could have known the way I was feeling had they not been seeing something and had this not been real.
I think that's very interesting and confirming that she would have said that, but also terrifying.
It was. And it was so funny because Derek, my husband, he looked at me and he goes, yep. And I didn't know at the time. We were married a year and a half, 2 years before I found out he was a medium.
Did, and I'm assuming he knew.
He just knew.
That's one of those things. It's like, how do you tell your spouse, your girlfriend, you know, as you're dating? Oh yeah, by the way,
yeah,
there's something I haven't told you. And then because you might be like, man, you are crazy.
And that's what he was afraid of, because a lot of his family did think, oh yeah, you're crazy. And especially me being, you know, a skeptic, oh yeah, it's a bunch of hocus pocus. There was no way he was going to tell me. And someone, when we were investigating once, was like, oh my God, he's got it. And I'm like, he's got what? You know, oh, he's got it. He's got it. I'm like, well, what does he have? And then it came out, well, that he was a medium. And he's like, yeah, I kind of see things. And it was, it changed the way we investigate, but I love it, because he will validate what my equipment is getting, and my equipment can validate what he sees. Yeah.
He had to have been thrilled that he took you on an investigation, that you were all in. That had to have been really exciting for him. And still has to be.
Yeah.
So you went to the Haunted Rock Island Roadhouse, and it is in Rock Island, Illinois, right along the Mississippi. So it's a beautiful area. So you go there, you investigate the roadhouse. How did you go from being an interested investigator to event coordinator?
Derek and I got to know Lisa, the owner of the location, very well. We live about an hour away from the location. So during COVID, when everybody was locked down, you know, you couldn't go anywhere, Derek and I were going to the roadhouse pretty much every weekend and hanging out with Lisa, the owner.
So you were having more fun than the rest of us.
Oh, Lisa, we were going almost every weekend investigating or just hanging out with her. And we just kept falling more and more in love with her and the location. And ultimately it was, Lisa, what can we do to help you? I said, I would love to have a paracon here. And she's like, well, oh my God, I had just had a dream about having a paracon here. She's like, let's do it. So last year we put together a paracon and had over 1,600 people through the door. And we've just taken it and run with it and are now doing, you know, more events there.
And you've got, and we'll talk about it in a little bit more in depth, but you have a paracon coming up in October 2024, if somebody's listening to this next year, because that's how podcasts work. Sometimes, you know, people discover you. I'm going to guess this will be a yearly event.
It's going to be the first Saturday of October each year.
And
God willing.
Big event. It's huge. Mm-hmm. You were telling me you already have 100 plus vendors for this fall.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah, we have like 100, close to 120.
Now, do you also help her with investigations and groups and events like that as well? Because I see that you've had different people come in, you know, special guests.
Yes. Yeah, we do different events, which maybe would feature different investigation or investigators that would come in and do it. Like we have coming up in April 20th, we have a kids event, which is going to be for everybody to bring their young children who might be interested in paranormal. We're going to keep it very kid friendly that night. So we got different groups that come in, and then Derek and myself, we help lead sessions as well. We help with that or wherever we're needed.
Now let's go back and talk about the history of the building, because it was at one time when we think of YMCA, like in my town, we have these fantastic health clubs, basically is what they are. So they have kids activities, they have weights, they have classes, they have all of this stuff. But back when this building was built, it was the YMCA, but it was the Young Men's Christian Association. So it was a different type of a building, and it opened in
1912.
Okay.
1913, it was built and opened.
So when it was originally built, it did have, you know, they had recreational activities there, but it was primarily for men to come and stay there maybe overnight, maybe short term, maybe even long term.
Right, exactly. Men who were down on their luck, or even servicemen. A lot of servicemen stayed there because if you showed up in your uniform during wartime, they allowed you. You stayed for free.
Oh, I didn't know that. It was a YMCA for quite a while and quite popular, right, and successful. And this is a big building, by the way. This is really, yes, big. How many stories is it?
4 stories plus a basement.
And it looks like it's the whole corner of a block.
Yeah, it is pretty big. I'm trying to remember how many square feet it is, and I can't off the top of my head.
But this is, so let's just say, trust us, this is a really good size building.
And 50, okay, I just found it. 50,000 square feet.
50,000. That, yes, is 50 of my homes. My homes have had 1,000 square feet.
Yeah.
So it was around for a long time. And then in 1976, there was a fire.
Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, after that, they did reopen for a while, but they decided to rebuild a new YMCA. So ultimately, this location was closed as from, you know, from being a YMCA.
So now it's, was it pretty decimated by the fire?
Not too bad. No, it's a brick building. So a lot of it, I mean, structurally, it was still there.
So they decided to rebuild it, but it wasn't going to be the YMCA any longer. And a furniture store moved in.
It actually stayed the YMCA,
okay,
for about a year after the fire. So it did stay the YMCA. Then it was like a UPS store, and then ultimately became Dan Viner Furniture.
So Dan Viner Furniture, that would have primarily been on the first floor, I'm
it
going to
It still
guess.
Is, yes. It's okay. On the first floor.
So there's still the furniture store there.
Correct.
So there's a whole lot of this building that was just sitting empty, is my guess.
Right. Right.
At some point, I'm assuming Dan Viner is a person.
Yes, he is. So he is Lisa's husband, who, okay, passed away a few years back.
So Dan and Lisa, still owns, mm-hmm, the building, right?
Yes. Yes. Lisa still owns and operates the furniture store as well.
So they buy this building thinking this would be a great location for our furniture store. They open up. They've got all this space in there that they don't even use. At some point, were they like, this place is creepy? Or were things happening to them? Or some paranormal activity maybe going on?
Yeah, they bought the building in 94, I believe it was. So they had their furniture store, and, you know, Lisa had some experiences, and it was about 7 or 8 years ago that she really opened it up for investigations, just to, you know, hey, I'm having some experiences, and that led to what it is today. So you can go there, investigate, you know, you can do events there. You can have, you know, just a private little investigation. And we've been there how many times, and we've never gone and not had activity.
Really? Now, was this something that was kind of scary to Lisa, or was she kind of into the paranormal? Was she confused by it? What was her reaction to it?
You know, good question. I know she loves it. Like, now she loves it. I'll have to ask her when she first had her first experience in the building what she thought.
With it being in operation as a furniture store, did they just kind of ignore the rest of the building? Because, you know, a building like that needs a lot of upkeep and everything.
They made the rooms storage units.
Oh, so you could rent one out.
People could rent storage units. Yeah.
That's a great idea. Now, do they still use it as storage?
Yeah, so that way, exactly.
That makes some sense. So she's got all this space, but she's making money off of it, which is a really good idea.
Yeah. A lot of the rooms, you know, on the upper floors are vacant. So when you're doing your investigations, there's plenty of rooms you can still go into. And, you know, we're in the process of adding a doll room. So it's got a lot of haunted dolls in it. It's going to be a great room. So we're doing a few new things coming up.
I was looking at where Rock Island is on the map, and it's on the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. North of where my sister lives in Iowa. So I'm like, okay. I could go up there, right? And now that you just mentioned that haunted doll thing, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm brave enough for that.
Oh, yeah.
I am such a wuss when it comes to haunted dolls. I really am.
Oh, it's not bad. It's not bad.
I blame that on my mother and her doll collection, actually. So
they creepy dolls?
Yes, they're creepy dolls. And I ended up with some of them in my house, which bothers me. Maybe I'll donate them. I could bring
there
them up
you
to
go.
You. And they could live in harmony with other creepy dolls.
Oh, my God. They would love it.
I think this is great. I'm so glad we've had this conversation. This is a great idea. So they opened up for paranormal investigations in 2018.
Right.
So she's been doing this for a while now, and you get activity frequently, and I'm going to guess other people also getting a lot of activity.
Yes. Yeah. Pretty much everybody, every time they go, I don't think I've ever known anybody to go for an investigation to not have an experience.
Well, let's talk about some of this paranormal stuff, and I want to start off with the... On your Facebook page, you posted a clip, and the video is just looks like a camera that's, I'm not even sure what it's pointing at. I'll let you describe it, but it's the audio portion of this that gave me the chills. So I'm going to play it, but I'd like you to explain what this is.
Okay. Did you want to play it first or you want me to describe it first?
Kind of describe it and then we'll listen to it and we can listen to it again. I can play it again, but describe it first.
Okay. The camera is a security camera that is set up pointing at the elevator shaft. And the room, it's either a floor up or down. I can't remember exactly, but from where the camera was, is what we call the trunk room. Now that is the room where, so this was a brothel and a speakeasy, you know, during the time of the Y days.
Wait. We didn't talk about that. So during the YMCA days, they also had a brothel and a speakeasy?
Yes.
In the young men's Christian place?
John Looney, who is a mobster, Al Capone even feared John Looney. That's how bad John Looney was.
He was Looney.
John Looney did business out of the Y. He had a room on what we believe is the fourth floor. We believe we found out which room was his. And yeah, he did business out of there. And yeah, so bad Al Capone was afraid of him. And the only person that John Looney was afraid of was Helen Van Dale, who was the madam of what at the time she called her resorts. So she had these women and she was not a nice woman at all. Women would be beaten, abused. There's one that investigators run into down in the wrestling room in the basement. That was chained up to the wall, her hands beaten and broken. But they would take these women sometimes up into this trunk room and abuse them and then put them in trunks, take them down out the building and throw the trunks in the river.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, in this clip, you'll hear one of the women, what we believe to be one of the women, crying for help. You hear the door slam shut and the click of the lock on the door locking.
And the what it says, the comment on this post says, "Still one of my best captures. I'm the only one in the building." So
right,
you're not hearing her. This
no.
is just
nope.
That's what's so amazing about this clip. So I'm going to play the clip. Here it is. I mean, you clearly hear somebody screaming in that clip. Here it comes again.
Yes.
Here it comes again. And that horrible thud, like, and it's not her. She didn't make those sounds. She's the only one there.
Yeah, like, she was, I want to say, down in her office. You know, she was nowhere even near where this camera was.
Like, that absolutely gives me chills to hear that, and especially knowing the backstory. Because it gave me chills when I listened to it the first time. But now knowing, because I didn't know about the brothel, these women being abused, and it sounds mm-hmm. like a woman's being abused and maybe pushed or hit or thrown or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That's one of the creepiest things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And so she just is going through security footage, which I think you would do all the time at this place, because there's got to be very interesting captures all the time.
Yeah. She goes on different times. I mean, we had a clip that I just love. She had set up on a table on the main floor, bottle of whiskey and a couple shot glasses, and had some equipment next to the shot glasses. And before she left for the evening, she said, "Okay, you know, this whiskey's for you guys. Help yourself." And she had the shot glasses perfectly level. Okay. Perfectly level with the amount of whiskey in the shot glasses. She came back the next day and one of the shot glasses was half empty. She watched the entire night. You know, she watched that, all the footage, and you can see by the shot glass that has less whiskey in it, the equipment going off.
Oh.
And like she said, it's not like it could have been evaporation, because if it was evaporation or something, both shot glasses would go down, not just one.
Right. You know, what's interesting on a lot of these videos, it has like there's some really great orbs, and like orbs mm-hmm. that are really bright that are traveling sideways or floating almost. It's very interesting in different shapes. Like there's
yes.
like there was one, the caption just says, "I find this one very interesting," and it looks like it's kind of outdoor or something. I'm not sure exactly. It could even be the elevator area. But it kind of looks like it's just floating downwards. I don't know what the heck that is. You know, because
yeah.
it's not an insect.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not dust, because dust doesn't move the way, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. We get plenty of dust, you know, in the video, in different videos. But like you mentioned, these are clearly something else, because dust and bugs don't move like this.
Man, and just hearing that EVP that you caught there, which it's almost not even like an EVP. It's like you captured a little piece of history, like something like a residual thing that happened a long time ago is happening again.
Yes.
Is kind of what that feels like. So there's all kinds of reports of hauntings. What have you experienced in the building?
Oh, God. All sorts of things. Disembodied voices. You'll hear conversations, footsteps. John Looney, hit me in the face one evening.
Okay, now, just so how do you know it was him? What happened?
So Derek is a medium, and he actually saw John Looney we were on the fourth floor, and, you know, he was, I don't want to say ignoring him, but he was basically, you know, Mr. Looney, no, now is not the time, you know, no, he wasn't listening to him at that time. And he didn't like being ignored. So all of a sudden, the next thing you know, I felt it. It was just as if something punched me in the face. My head turns and Lisa's like, oh my God. And Derek, he saw it. You know, he saw it. He saw him and was like, you stay away from her. Yeah. And I had a nice little red welt on my face where he hit me.
That had to been terrifying. I would have been terrified. Was that really frightening for you, or how did you feel about that?
Really? It was almost, I don't want to say exciting. It was like, oh my God, this just happened. You know, so it was like, did this just really happen? Like, did you? And Lisa was like, no, I saw it. I saw your face go, you know, she saw it go moving. She saw the mark. Derek saw it happen. So.
Well, and it's interesting that Derek's the one who was like, no, and kind of treating him in what I'm assuming he thought was a disrespectful way. But rather than take it out on him, he took it out on a woman, which after hearing the EVP was probably pretty common practice for him.
That, and he knows, because we've been there so much, he knows, how do you get to Derek? To get to Derek, you get me. So it was, you know, and it's not like Derek wasn't trying to be disrespectful. It was just like, okay, no, now's not the time, because, you know, mediums don't want to be using their gifts all the time. It's very draining on them. So he was, you know, no, now is not the time. And yeah, John Looney did not like it. So yeah, he took it out on me to try to get to Derek. It was like, well, if you're not going to listen to me, I'm going to do something to make you listen to me.
That's so interesting. That, like, I have all the respect for you and being brave enough to take that the way you did. I'd have been running out the door. I know me. I'd been like, oh my God, it just hit me. I must leave.
Well, now, I'm used to being there, so I feel very safe in the building.
And with Derek, a place like that for him, with all that activity in there all the time, I would think it would be emotionally pretty draining for him.
Very, yes.
So yeah. Do you kind of have to space out how frequently you go there, or, you know, give him time to recover in between things like that?
Exactly. Give him time to recover. You know, and if all of a sudden, you know, we have a lot of things happen and he says, okay, I'm done. It's okay. We're done. If we have to stop investigating, we stop investigating, but he's getting better at, I don't want to say controlling it, but controlling it, you know, turning it on and off so that he's blocked. So he doesn't always let it in.
Now I've read different things, but are there some spirits that it seems like multiple people have reported on, like Mr. Looney, which I do think is an appropriate name for him. But are there other spirits like that, you know, people like your husband have picked up on, and you feel like you know who they are?
Well, we do know John Looney for sure. In fact, the movie Road to Perdition, the character John Rooney is based off of the real life John Looney.
Oh, okay.
Helen Van Dale, she's a real person, the real madam. Al Capone has been seen there. John Dickerson, who committed a murder while he lived there. Paul Lohman, a young boy who drowned in the pool they revived him, took him to the hospital, but he ultimately passed away of pneumonia as a result of the drowning. He's there in the pool area and loves to play.
All the kid spirits always get me in the heart. And it just sounds like such a rough place that I don't want a kid spirit to have to be there.
But, you know, it's got its happy times, too. I'll never forget the one time Derek was like, why do I see a clown? Like, what? He goes, yeah, I'm seeing a clown. And we just kind of blew it off. Well, doing a bunch of digging into the history, they used to hold a yearly circus in the gymnasium. That would make sense why maybe there would be a clown there.
It is a very fascinating place to me because it has these two, well, not even two, it's multifaceted. You know, it just seems like they're doing kids things and community events. Then there's a brothel and a speakeasy. And then there's men who need a place to stay and there are soldiers who come through to stay. You know, there's just, it seems to have all of these different stories in its history that kind of combine into one very interesting location.
Yeah, it is, because you think about all the people who did stay there and had all these different things happen at that point in their life when they're there. And for some reason, they come back there. All these different lives that passed through there while it was a YMCA, even before it was a YMCA, yeah, when there were houses on that property.
Now, the madam who was a pretty ruthless person, it sounds like, and they feel like she's still there as well. Does she still have that really intense kind of presence about her?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, she does. She's very, she will tell you if there's women there, she will let it be known which women are suitable that she would like to come work for her.
No.
Yes. Yes.
So how does that work? Does she kind of like play with her hair or?
It depends. We've had it different ways. We've had Lisa the one night was communicating with her with the dowsing rods. You know, can you point to who you would like to have working for you? And it would point to the one girl continuously. And that girl was feeling different, you know, different things happening. Like you mentioned, her hair being touched. She lets it be known, whether it be, you know, using something like necrophonics or a spirit box. You know, she'll say the person's name. She's very, very vocal and lets it be known who she wants to work for her.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation about the haunted Rock Island Roadhouse with Candy Slater. For more information, just search Haunted Rock Island Roadhouse on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, you'll get everything without the commercials, become a Gravekeeper. You can sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, see if you like it, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.